This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Okay, it's the sports dad, Judd Zolgad. It is Phil Mackey here. And we're popping in with five big questions before this Wolves-Suns series. Just a quick little episode. We'll fly through these questions here, Judd. Let's just get right into it. Question number one. I know a lot of people are fretting this, right? The Wolves got smoked three different times in the regular season. I think Kyle and I tried to calm some people down on yesterday's episode. It's still going to be an uphill climb. But big question number one for you is, how much pressure is on the Timberwolves organization to beat the Suns and get out of the first round for the first time in 20 years?
I hope it's fairly significant. But that's a good thing because the expectations have been raised here. So, like, I think it would be condescending to say, well, there's probably no chance. The Suns are a tough matchup. I mean, this was a team that spent the majority of the season in the number one seed in the conference. Now, they are third now. There are reasons why. And the matchup with the Suns looks to be extremely difficult. But I'm going to say I think there's quite a bit of pressure, and I think that there should be. And I think the Wolves should want it this way. Like, you don't, there's no way on God's green earth that if you went to Anthony Edwards right now and said, what's the pressure like? He'd be like, oh, there should be no pressure. He wants that smoke. He wants that pressure. This is how you build winning teams.
So he also doesn't feel pressure, which is funny. Yeah. Like, I don't think he feels,
but pressure. I mean, I think he wants the expectation. How about that word? Not the pressure, the expectation. But I think that that's a good thing. And I think the graduation of this for so long, woebegone franchise, right, into being a franchise that looks like it's on the floor, at least right now. Can't say this necessarily in the front office, at least as far as the ownership goes. But this looks like a franchise right now on the floor that's really on the right track. So I think the expectations, I think the pressure is significant, but I do not say that in a condescending bad way. I think to say, well, there's no pressure really. That's, you know, if you're the last seed, that's if you're the seventh seed. So that's my thought.
I think I was trying to articulate this with Kyle yesterday. I have a two-pronged feeling about the expectations and the pressure here. On one hand, if they don't beat the Suns and they don't get out of the first round, I do think, because this would be the second year after the big Rudy Gobert move, like, you didn't make that Rudy Gobert trade to just get beat in the first round every year and not make a run. That's the move that you make to get second, third round, maybe even NBA finals, which I know it's crazy to say NBA finals and Timberwolves in the same sentence. But so I want to make sure that we are preserving a high expectation for the franchise based on the trade that they made, but also just based on the ethos of our podcast on Score North. I mean, we literally tell Vikings fans on Purple Daily, hey, Super Bowl is the goal around here. It's been 60 plus years. The only thing this franchise hasn't done is win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Now, the Timberwolves are in a little bit of a different place because they're still kind of like, they're like the elementary school kid that's flunked a bunch of grades. They're like a 14-year-old second grader. And you're like, okay, the goal is championship. The goal is graduate high school, but let's try to get through third grade first, fourth grade first. So, like, I want to maintain a high standard. And therefore, if they don't beat the Suns, I do think this season is a failure to not move past the first round. However, I also want to leave room for the fact that Anthony Edwards is 22 years old. And if they, let's say they lose in six or seven games, it's hard fought. Like, if they get swept, my God, then I think we're having some big conversations. But I think this is the beginning of something and not the end of something, even if they get beat in the first round. So I'm kind of torn here. They should win a series based on everything they've done this year, sitting at the top of the Western Conference. I know that the West is loaded and the Suns are not your prototypical six seed.
Sure.
But if the worst case scenario happens and they lose, well, you still have a 22, going to be 23-year-old Anthony Edwards, a 23-year-old Naz Reid. I think there's another level to Jaden McDaniels' game. I don't think he's on the trade block. So there's pressure, but like long-term, they're still set up really, really well to make some runs here over the next 5 to 7 years.
I disagree a little bit. I don't think it's the beginning, because we have seen, like there are members of this team who have been here before. Like, it's really go time for Cat. Like, yeah. You need, and I'm not saying he played well in games 2 and 4 and he was terrible in game. I'm saying a really good series. So I get your point. And Ant is the type of guy to me whose trajectory should only continue to ascend, but it's already way up that hill. So, you know, going back to Cat, you got the Rocket series, then what, a couple years out of the playoffs, then a couple more. So I do feel that we are very much in the progress of this with a guy like that. And I'm really tired of trying to find the good games. Well, if you look back at game 4, Cat was outstanding. Okay, this should be a playoff where every game he is, if not outstanding, a huge contributor.
Well, that's a good segue into question number 2. And before I ask question number 2, one more thing on Anthony Edwards. And I don't think he feels crippling. I think Cat feels pressure.
That's what I want to see go away.
It looks heavy. Like the way that he, you know, you see him slip into sometimes these like exasperated emotions.
If it goes wrong, he really starts to like shrug and do that. What's going on?
He feels and senses it. And not that Anthony Edwards doesn't get mad or like experience negative emotions, but it feels like he's sort of bouncing on clouds above pressure oftentimes. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that are looking at him now saying, okay, you're 4 years in, you got your little movie thing over here with Adam Sandler. You're on the Olympic team now. You got your shoe deal. Are you going to be sort of an empty calories superstar that just gets bounced, you know, first round, second round, like a Tracy McGrady, put up a bunch of numbers and get bounced? Or are you going to be a dude that is grinding through series and leading a team deep and an actual leader of a championship caliber team?
Correct.
And this series is a really good test of that. Now, again, if he fails the test, Anthony Edwards, it doesn't mean that he's doomed to be one and done. I mean, it took Kevin Garnett until he was like 28 or 29 years old, until I think he was 27 or 28. When they finally broke through 8 years of one and dones or 7 years of one and dones, and then they finally assembled the team. Second question to what you were saying. What does this series and these playoffs mean for Cat's legacy and future with the Timberwolves?
Everything. As far as the latter. I almost don't care about the former right now. That can be decided. But the latter, I think this will mean everything. I think if the Wolves lose this series in, let's say, 5 or 6 games, and again, we go cherry picking the box scores, the Cousins ask, well, look at this one game. He was unbelievable. I think Cat might be traded. Like the whole thing about what Laurie and A-Rod were going to do, and oh my God, they were going to trade guys and not go above, you know, the luxury tax and not go into this second apron and all of that. Yes, that's slightly scary, but that discussion is going to be had no matter who owns this team. And if Carl Anthony Towns fails you again, if we get the shrugging Cat, the Cat that's like just constantly upset about every call against him, I think that might spell the end here, because he's had enough chances now. Like exactly what you said about Ant, in my opinion, Cat's past that point. We don't have the, well, someday, you just wait.
He's 28.
28 years old. 29. The playoff, you know, that Rocket series, which we defended him during, and at the time, I think that was fine to defend him, but that's now on your resume. Like, if this is a report card, that's on there.
Yeah.
I think, Phil, this is absolutely enormous, because if the team loses in the first round and Ant's not great, we're going to say, okay, but still, he's Ant. Just give this some time. We did the same thing for Cat. I think we should be done doing that for Carl.
The best thing Carl can do is not force things in this series. Don't try and force drives into traffic if they're not there. Don't try and and force things that aren't natural to the flow of the offense. But he fights it. You even saw it in the couple of games, like the game against the Suns. There's a couple questionable calls, but it's like his instinct is like, I need to make a play here. I need to make a drive. It's like one of the best things he can do is space, shoot threes when it comes to him, move the ball quickly. You know, it's not all on him to carry this team through this series against the Suns, but I think sometimes he feels that that's the way. And like the truth is, and people get so mad. Some, like even like our great audience on this show, Flagrant Howls, that like you guys are picking on Karl Anthony Towns. I think if you're stating facts about someone, I mean, you can call it picking on them, but the fact is Kat has been extremely underwhelming in the playoffs.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
And I've got some numbers to back it up here.
Yep.
The other fact is he has a great chance starting again this Saturday to change that narrative. You know, I mean, I've told you the story a million times about when I used to cover the Twins baseball beat 10 years ago, and not to compare these two players, but because Luke Hughes didn't have nearly the major league career that Kat has had in the NBA. But I had a conversation with Luke Hughes, former Twins prospect, and he was mad about the coverage he was getting. You know, he's just like, why are people? He was Australian. So, hey, mate, you know, what's up with your co-host? You're always ripping me on the radio, this, that. I said, you know, you can change the way that media and fans talk about you. I literally, like, literally sitting at his locker. And I was like, right. You can literally change the way that media and fans talk about you if you go out this season and hit 280 with 25 home runs and you start 150 games. Guess what they're going to say about you afterwards? And the same is true for Kat. If you go into this series and you are a monster and you are operating within the flow and you're jacking threes, maybe in this series, they're going to ask you to post up a little bit more for matchup reasons. And you're resisting the urge to barrel into two defenders and you're making the right pass instead. If you go into a series and you're scoring 25 points and you're avoiding foul trouble and you're making the right play, people are going to praise you after the series is over. But to this point, when you look at his playoff resume, his career scoring average is down 5 points a game from his regular season scoring average. Anthony Edwards is the opposite. It's up 5 points a game compared to regular season. In the 14 playoff and play-in games, the last two seasons that Karl Anthony Towns has played in, 30% of those games, he shoots 33% or less from the field. So like one in every three games, he's literally 30% or 27% from the field. In 50% of those playoff and play-in games, he gets in foul trouble or fouls out entirely.
Right.
In 36% of those 14 games, he has more turnovers than made shots. Mm-hmm. And you could flip it around and be like, well, yeah, but that means in 2/3 of the games, he's a supermax player, man. Like he is right. a franchise top three player on a team. You can't, one in every three games can't be more fouls than made shots. I'm sorry. Like 50% of the games can't be foul trouble. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to this too. Like five years ago, Kat was considered peers with Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. And you fast forward 5 years later now, and Nikola Jokic is about to win his third MVP. He's the best player on a championship team. Now, Embiid's teams have had struggles in the playoffs as well. But when he goes down with an injury for 2 or 3 months, and Embiid comes back to the 76ers, a couple things. The Sixers without Embiid were a train wreck for those 2 months. They literally fell from like the 2 seed all the way like into the play-in. Mm-hmm. They're playing in the play-in tonight. Mm-hmm. But when he comes back, there's no chatter about how, oh man, how are the Sixers going to integrate this unicorn player back into their team? It's just like, oh, thank God, Embiid is back to save the franchise. When Kat goes out for a stretch of time, the Wolves have the same winning percentage this year. And the questions are, how are you going to integrate this supermax unicorn back into your team? It's like he has lost ground over 5 years to his peers Embiid and Jokic, but it's all in front of him. Like he can change the narrative the next 2 months.
But the difficult thing for Chris Finch is this: if it doesn't work Nas is actually does more of what you want in situations than Cat does at times. Cat's the better player, no question about it. But if you look at, to go back to spacing, what I need Cat to do is quit telling me that you're going to be a great teammate and be it. You don't have to talk about it. I've noticed he loves to do that. When things are going right, he's talking about I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I don't need to hear that. Just do it every single game.
Yeah, I would love to see him shut everybody, shut me up, shut you up, like go shut everybody up over the next month and a half, 2 months, and just go be a monster in a playoff series against the Suns. But you just brought up a segue to question three. You're doing a great job of
segueing. Thank you very much. I have seen the questions. I have forgotten them.
So question three is, does Chris Finch have the stomach to drastically change lineups and rotations? Maybe even starting game one. Although maybe they come out in game one and they give you the same starting five and the same minutes and the same sort of the same rotations. And maybe it doesn't work. But if it's deemed that, hey, what you've normally been doing, and by the way, there's a couple great, smart sort of X's and O's Twitter accounts that have been on their A game this week. One of them is HP Basketball, Hardwood Paroxysm.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Great stuff. And they tweeted, Minnesota's biggest issue is they cannot dance with what brung them in this series. You landed the one matchup where you have to get creative and play to the matchup as opposed to just doing what you do.
Right.
Any other series, and you can just be who you were. You can be the same team that got you here.
You did.
But against the Suns, you have to adapt and do it pretty quickly or you're going to get killed. Mm. So does Finch have the stomach? Let's say drastically means you got to play Cat or Nas 10 minutes, 12 minutes instead of 25, 30. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
You have no choice. And this, to me, and keep in mind, you got a week here, okay? To me, this goes beyond Chris. This is a Tim Connelly thing as well. Like, the simple question is this. Do you want to win the series or keep people happy? And to win a playoff series, you can't care about that. As I suggested to you, do you at some point in time, it might be game one, it might be game three, but if it's not going right with Cat, well with Cat, does not start. Do both of them not start? Like, there's questions here.
Do you put Nikhil in a line to go completely small? By the way, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Howls and Growls, Jake Painting put this out yesterday. Devin Booker is 0-for-9, small sample size, but Devin Booker is 0-for-9 from the field when being guarded by Nikhil Alexander-Walker this season. Bradley Beal is 2-for-6 when being guarded by Nikhil. Because he's a 6'5".
Gives you the
nimble,
best chance, right?
Yeah.
It possibly does. But I'm telling you, after watching Finch's post game on Sunday, I didn't see a guy with a ton of angst. I think he was pissed off about the things he should have been mad about. Turnovers were atrocious. Okay. But I got a feeling he said, I got a plan here, but I ain't going to show it to him. Cause why would you?
Yeah. But the way you put it is great though. It's like, you might have to, it'd be great if you could just, maybe you just run your five out and it just, hey, I don't know. It just changes.
I don't think.
But if you are confronted with, man, the thing that we need to tweak is going to make some people really uncomfortable, but it's going to be the thing that wins the series. A lot of coaches in the NBA feed into egos as opposed to the optimal strategy when it comes to superstars and guys making a lot of money.
Sure. Mm. Well, you know what? Carl in particular talks the talk a lot. It's time he walks the walk, which is you're going to have to accept what they do. And if you don't, that now creates another question about if I want you.
Yeah, there's going to be, that's the thing. Like, if they don't beat the Suns, it opens the door wide for a Cat trade conversation. But at the same time, if they beat the Suns, because I had the Suns as the toughest matchup.
Yep.
Not that there aren't like other really tough matchups. Of course, the Nuggets are a tough matchup. I mean, whoever wins that Nuggets-Lakers series.
For the Wolves, I agree with you. This is the worst matchup.
But if you, on the flip side, if you beat the Suns, think about the super confidence you're going to have going into literally any other series. Like, could a win against the Suns vault you to a place your franchise has never been before?
And don't forget, though, your list is born out of the fact of what you know about this team as far as personnel goes, which is why if they decide, okay, here's what we're going to do, and it rubs some highly paid people the wrong way, but that's not the matchup we're talking about. We're talking about the status quo.
Yep. Interesting stuff, man. Okay, question number four. Do you think KG shows up to any of these Wolves Suns games or any Wolves playoff games? I predicted that he would on Write That Down this
year. Yeah, but like you said, at first when I saw this question, I thought you meant at Target Center, because my answer there is no. If the sale had gone down as expected, then I think he definitely does. In fact, I think A-Rod brings him in. They sit at courtside. They show him on the big screen. The crowd goes nuts. Yes,
Glenn.
Yes, Glenn is there. Like, can you? They still play going into the fourth quarter games. They still play Kid KG.
Yeah,
you know, revving the crowd up. Can you imagine if they did that? And then
the camera cuts to him under the basket doing the powder thing.
Unfortunately, now I think no, but I think you're right. That Down might be right. I could definitely see him showing up at a road game.
Man, it would be electric. The fact that Glenn's broken relationship with KG prevents him in any other scenario, wouldn't he be at game one against the Suns?
Yeah,
on Saturday,
he'd be pounding
his head against the basket stanchion.
He'd be an ambassador for the team. He'd be making $100,000, $500,000, some very nice chump change for him as an ambassador. If this was what it should be, I mean, he would have been here probably 10 times.
Well, he lives in Southern California. He lives in the LA area. Those Phoenix games are a quick little private jet or whatever he would take.
Yep.
Probably get a driver to drive you a few hours. Mm-hmm. I could see him showing up at Phoenix for like a game three, just sitting courtside under the hoop, watching these guys.
TNT throws him on.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And then question number five here. And we already made our predictions on Write That Down, but we'll make them officially here on Flagrant House too. Who wins this series and in how many games?
I'm going to say I predicted the Wolves without a number of games on Write That Down. I'm going to say the Wolves, and I'm going to say it's going to go seven.
I agree.
It's going to be a dogfight.
I don't think they're getting swept out. They're going to counterpunch. They have too much talent. Chris Finch is a good now. Frank Vogel is also a great coach.
Right.
As seen in with, you know, his time with the Pacers and then with the Lakers.
But a sweep would be an indictment of Finch.
Huge indictment. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
Dogfight.
I think they find a way. And remember, and this is a different Suns team, but Devin Booker was a centerpiece of both these teams. And this is more of an illustration, not of like the Suns, because it's different rosters, but it's like what can happen in an NBA series when you have top players. The 2021 finals, the Suns were up 2-0, and they dominated mostly those first two games. Like game one, they had like a 20-point lead fourth quarter, and the Bucks were down after two games. It was like, whoa, this might be a Suns sweep, first championship in Suns history. But the Bucks went back to the film room. They dusted themselves off. You saw a completely different punch in game three, and all of a sudden now the series starts to turn. So why can't you make an adjustment of some kind, either before the series or once you get a feel for the first couple of games?
Yeah, I want to see it made because of how much of a body work that you have from the three games during the season. I want to see the adjustment made in game one, and then you're going to have to continue to evolve.
Yeah.
Like, because the Suns will then adjust to what you adjusted to, blah, blah, blah. But I want to see a look in game one where you're like, okay, that's what they were holding back.
Yeah. And we'll see. I don't know what smarter people than us are going to have to figure out the X's and O's of this, like Chris Finch, namely. Here's one more nugget on this, too, that we talk about, like the pressure that the Wolves may or may not feel. And, you know, can you get out of the first round for the first time in 20 years? Well, there's a couple Suns players and even the organization that should feel some pressure because they had the finals 3 years ago. They are up 2-0 and they've been chasing that now. They've turned over the roster, get rid of Chris Paul.
Coaching.
You know, get rid of DeAndre Ayton, change out the coach. They're still in that window.
Yep.
And there's pressure to deliver on the 2-0 lead that they blew in 2021. But you also have, so Devin Booker kind of feels that. It's, can we get back there and redeem what happened? But Kevin Durant too, man. Like he has rabbit ears. He follows what people say about him. He's very sensitive.
Yep.
And he knows that he's 35 years old. And the feeling about his career is The two championships that he won with the Warriors are asterisk championships. Yes. It was a salary cap loophole, and he just jumped on an already existing dynasty train and he rode it and they dominated. And that's why he left the Warriors in part. Like, he could have stuck around. They probably would have won a couple extra championships. So he goes to Brooklyn trying to do it his way. Okay, screw all you guys. You say that I need the Warriors. I'm going to go do it on my own. Failed in Brooklyn, had the injury.
With a super team.
Yeah.
Like, they James built Harden, the Nets up, Kyrie. And it didn't work. Yes. Yep.
So, like, Durant is trying to win a title without the Warriors, and he only maybe has a couple shots left at this before he hits the... I mean, he might have, like, three more years of peak play left, but he feels some pressure.
Absolutely, and he's a fantastic, fantastic player, but I will say this. I think Jade McDaniels is one of the most important players in this series because of that. Because, to your point, Durant definitely can get emotionally over-involved at times. Like, he does hear everything. And so if I'm Chris Finch, I tell Jaden, I want you play smart, but be glued to him. And almost any points you score are a bonus as long as you get in his head.
Yeah. It'll be like who they run at Kevin Durant is going to be so interesting, because there's times where like Ant might be run at him. There's times where Cat matches up on Durant, but he definitely feels narrative too.
As long as he's not dumb, the thing I like about Jaden is that dude wants to compete and he's got a nasty streak, which can be dangerous, but also like that's part of the problem with Cat. He doesn't really have a nasty streak.
Yeah, it's like a tantrum streak.
Yeah, I don't need that.
More, it's like an internal battle more than
I need to tell you Kevin Durant's gonna eat your lunch and for you to say BS.
Yeah.
And I feel like Jaden's that type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's going to be super fun. And they did announce the entire series. So I guess we could throw that out here too for people that maybe didn't see this yet. But game one is going to be Saturday, Target Center, 2:30 Central Time tip off, ESPN. Game two is going to be Tuesday, TNT, 6:30 p.m. tip off.
Not the late game. Not the 9 o'clock game.
A little prime time there. And then Friday, April 26th in Phoenix at 9:30 Central Time on ESPN, followed by Game 4 Sunday in Phoenix, April 28th. That's an 8:30 p.m. Central Time tip-off on TNT, and then obviously Games 5, 6, and 7 are TBD if necessary. So we're still formulating our flagrant house plans, but we're going to have some immediate post-game recap shows, definitely for Game 1. And then we're also going to have a smattering of day after, like morning after podcasts and reactions. But we're going to have all sorts of reaction podcasts here with the two of us, with Kyle Tighe, our guy Jim Peterson, who's at least going to be calling the first round with Michael Grady on Valley Sports North. But buckle up, man. This Western Conference is insane. The Warriors are already out. They got bounced last night, smoked by the Kings, and now you're going to have Kings Pelicans playing for that 8 seed.
Mm. The Pelicans too. What's the update on Zion?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything in the last couple hours.
Might go from I don't want to see the Pelicans to don't worry about it, you won't.
So he's believed to have suffered a left hamstring injury. And it looked bad, like
bad news for them, good news for the league, because back to your point from before, I think you'd much prefer the Kings be plopped in than the Pelicans with their full staff. But if Zion's out, I think the Kings can probably beat them, don't you?
I think either one of those teams is going to get done by Oklahoma City pretty efficiently in the first round. But yeah, in terms of like, if you eventually have to face a full strength Pelicans team, the fact that you don't have to worry about that probably is good for the Wolves, but get to the Suns. Yeah. Lakers, Nuggets. It's going to be Clippers and Mavericks too. These are all like incredible series in the Western Conference.
So it's nuts too, because this league used to be sort of a lot of chalk.
Yeah. Not this year. Well, not good. This year.
Good for them. It's awesome.
Yep. So, okay, that's a wrap on the five big questions episode here of Flagrant Howls. For the sports dad, Judd Zulgad, I'm Phil Mackey, and this is a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.